sleep-a-time facts, lasers. Settle into the bed and let your breathing become slow and even. Lasers are quiet examples of light, made orderly. Ordinary light spreads out in many directions and mixes many wavelengths together. A laser produces a narrow beam in which the light waves move together in step. This organization gives the beam a steady direction and a very pure color. You may have encountered lasers without thinking about them. They help read the dark bars on grocery packages. They carry soft pulses of light through thin glass fibers that connect phones and computers. In each case, the laser does one gentle job. It keeps light aligned. As you rest, imagine that same steadiness. The beam does not rush or scatter. It simply travels along its path. Your thoughts can settle in the same way, one soft focus after another, while the room stays still and safe. The word laser began as a compact way to name a very particular kind of light. It is built from the initial letters of a longer phrase, and that phrase describes what the device does in calm, physical terms. The phrase is light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. Over time, the acronym became so familiar that people began writing it as an ordinary word. That shift is useful. It reminds us that a laser is not a mysterious object. It is a tool for making light behave in an orderly manner. Light is the first part of the name, and it is the thing being shaped in everyday life. Light arrives from many sources and spreads in many directions. A lamp sends out waves that wander outward. The sun sends a broad mix of wavelengths. A laser, by contrast, works with light that has been gathered into a much narrower pattern. The word light here refers to electromagnetic waves, the same general family as the glow from a candle or the brightness of a clear afternoon. The laser does not create a different kind of substance. It arranges ordinary light into a more focused form. Amplification comes next. To amplify something is to make it larger or more pronounced. In sound, amplification can make a quiet voice carry across a room. In light, amplification means increasing the amount of coordinated electromagnetic energy. A weak signal can prompt a larger response inside a suitable material. The result is a buildup rather than a chaotic flood. The waves gain strength because they are supported by the material they pass through. The idea is gentle in principle. A small, orderly influence can encourage a larger, similar response. Stimulated is the word that gives the phrase its special character. A stimulus is something that prompts a response. In a laser, the stimulus is light itself. When an atom or molecule in a material is already holding energy, a passing wave can encourage it to release that energy as another wave. The new wave matches the first in important ways. It travels in step with the original. This matching is what makes the light orderly. The process does not need to be forced in a rough way. It is a prompt and a quiet invitation for energy to appear in the same pattern that is already present. Emission follows. Emission means sending out. Many things emit light. A warm surface emits infrared. A firefly emits a soft glow. In the laser phrase, Emission refers to light leaving matter and entering space. The special part is that the emission is stimulated rather than random. It happens in response to a wave that is already there. That response adds to the existing light. Each matching addition helps the pattern become clearer. The light is not scattered into every corner. It is produced in a way that supports one shared direction and rhythm. Radiation is the final word, and it can sound more serious than it needs to. In physics, radiation simply means energy traveling outward. Sunlight is radiation. The warmth felt near a stove is radiation. The term describes motion. Energy moves from one place to another. In the laser acronym, radiation is the light that has been amplified and emitted in a coordinated pattern. The word completes the phrase by naming what travels away from the device. Taken together, the phrase describes a sequence of ideas. Light is present. It is amplified. The amplification depends on stimulated emission. The emitted energy becomes radiation that moves outward. The acronym places those ideas in a neat row. It gives a name to process, where light encourages more light of the same kind to appear. The device called a laser is the place where this process is arranged with care. The acronym also leaves some things open. It does not name the material inside the device. It does not require a single color or a single shape for the beam. Those details can vary. What remains constant is the method suggested by the phrase. Light is increased through a process in which existing light prompts new light. That is the core of the name. The small word behind the phrase carries a quiet load. It tells us how the amplification happens. The increase is not produced by simply adding unrelated waves. It comes through stimulated emission. One orderly pattern invites another. The phrase therefore links cause and effect in a few words. Amplification is the result. Stimulated emission is the means. Because the name is a process, the word laser can point to more than one thing. It can mean the instrument that creates the light. It can mean the beam that leaves it. In both cases, the acronym remains the same guide. The beam is called laser light because it has been formed through the process named by the phrase. The instrument is called a laser because it is built to support that process. The phrase also suggests control without spelling out every part of the arrangement. Amplification can happen in many settings, but a laser is concerned with a disciplined kind of increase. The waves are encouraged to build in a shared pattern. The device provides conditions where that buildup can continue. Nothing in the acronym demands a particular size or power. It only identifies the orderly route by which the light is made stronger. Over the years, the word has settled into ordinary speech. People use the word for printers and light shows. In those uses, the acronym has become an adjective or a simple noun. The full phrase can fade from view. Returning to it restores the original sense before it settled into everyday use. The phrase was formed after the underlying idea was already understood. Scientists had recognized that matter could hold energy and release it as light. They also understood that an incoming wave could encourage that release. Once those pieces were clear, the acronym gave them a compact label. It turned a chain of physical events into a single term. The label helped people talk about the device without describing every step each time. Light can move through matter without leaving a trace, or it can be absorbed and become a slight increase in internal energy. Between those familiar outcomes sits a quieter possibility, an atom or molecule that already holds extra energy may be prompted by passing light to give some of that energy back. The prompt does not strike the particle like a tiny hammer. It acts through the oscillation of the electromagnetic field, encouraging the excited system to change to a lower energy state. When that happens, the system releases a photon. This process is the central event that makes laser light possible. An excited atom or molecule emits light in response to light already present. The emitted photon is not a random answer. It matches the incoming photon in color, which means it has the same frequency and energy. It also travels in the same direction and keeps the same phase. If the incoming light wave has crests and troughs arranged in a certain pattern, the new photon joins that pattern rather than starting a new one. To picture this, think of an atom as having only certain allowed amounts of internal energy. It cannot hold just any quantity. It can rest in a low state, or it can hold a definite extra amount after receiving energy from somewhere else. That extra energy might have come from an earlier flash of light, from an electrical current, or from a collision with another particle. While the atom remains in the higher state, it is ready to release the surplus if the right opportunity appears. One opportunity is spontaneous emission. In that case, the excited atom simply drops to a lower state and sends out a photon on its own. The photon has the correct color for the energy difference, but its timing, direction, and phase are not tied to another light wave. Spontaneous emission is common. It is why many materials glow softly after being energized. Stimulated emission is different because the presence of a suitable photon guides the release. The guiding happens because light is an oscillating electric and magnetic field. An electron in an atom responds to electric fields, even very weak ones. When a photon with the right energy passes an excited atom, its field oscillates at a frequency that corresponds to the gap between the atom's higher and lower states. That matching rhythm can encourage the electron to shift downward. The atom then gives up the energy difference as another photon. The original photon continues onward. Instead of one photon entering the region and being absorbed, one photon enters and two photons leave. The two leaving photons are closely matched. They carry the same energy, so they have the same color. They move together along the same path. Their wave peaks line up with one another, and their electric fields oscillate in the same orientation. This matching is why stimulated emission can produce light that is unusually orderly. The process adds brightness in a coordinated way. Phase is one of the quieter ideas here. Two waves can have the same color and still be out of step. If one wave reaches a crest while another reaches a trough, they can weaken each other. If their crests arrive together, they reinforce each other. in stimulated emission. The new photon is born in step with the photon that prompted it. The light wave, therefore, gains a partner that supports its existing rhythm. Direction matters too. Ordinary light from a warm object spreads outward in many directions. Each atom emits independently, and the photons fan away from the source. In stimulated emission, the emitted photon follows the direction of the incoming photon. This tendency keeps the light confined to a shared path. If many excited atoms lie along that path, each prompted photon can prompt another, and the same narrow beam can grow stronger. This growth is often described as amplification. A small amount of well-chosen light can become larger without changing its basic character. The added light carries the same frequency and phase as the light that began the process. In a laser, this principle is placed inside a carefully prepared material where many atoms or molecules are ready to emit. The material provides the gain. The stimulated emission provides the order. Still, the heart of the matter remains the single atomic event. An incoming photon prompts an excited system to release a matching photon. The idea was worked out by considering how atoms and radiation share energy. Early studies of light and matter had already described absorption, where a photon is taken up and an atom moves to a higher energy state. They also described spontaneous emission, where an excited atom emits without outside prompting. To make the full accounting of energy exchange consistent, theorists recognized that a third path was needed. If light could raise an atom to a higher state, then an excited atom should also be able to fall to a lower state under the influence of light already present. The symmetry of the situation pointed toward stimulated emission, and later observations confirmed that it occurs in nature. No dramatic event is required. The atom does not need to be shaken. It simply moves from one allowed energy state to another, and the energy difference appears as light. The process follows the same conservation rules that govern all quiet exchanges in physics. Energy is neither lost nor invented. Momentum is also accounted for, which is one reason the emitted photon travels along the same path as the prompting photon. The whole interaction is an orderly transfer. The match between the incoming photon and the atomic transition must be close. If the photon has too little energy, it cannot prompt the particular downward step. If it has too much, it may pass by without causing that emission, or it may interact in some other way. Atoms are selective. Their allowed energy gaps determine which colors they can absorb and which colors they can emit. Stimulated emission respects that selectivity. A photon of one color can prompt emission of the same color from a suitable excited atom, but it will not make every atom respond. This selectivity gives stimulated emission its neatness. The emitted light does not smear into many colors. It stays tied to a specific transition. In some materials, the transition is narrow. In others, the allowed energies spread slightly because the atoms are in a solid or a mixture, and the emitted color can cover a small range. Even then, the stimulated photons follow the incoming light closely. The process preserves the character of the light that stimulates it. There is also a timing aspect. An excited atom cannot remain excited forever. But the length of time it stays ready can vary. Some excited states last for a tiny fraction of a second. Others last much longer if a matching photon arrives. While the atom is still excited, stimulated emission can occur if the atom has already released its energy spontaneously. The opportunity is gone. The process, therefore, depends on having excited systems present at the same time, as suitable light passes through them. Stimulated emission can happen with molecules as well as atoms. Molecules have more ways to store energy because they can vibrate and rotate in addition to shifting electronic states. That means they can support stimulated emission across a wider range of wavelengths, including infrared light. The basic rule remains the same. An excited system releases a photon that agrees with the photon that prompted the release. At a deep level, the process shows that light can organize light. A passing wave carries energy, and it can also shape how energy leaves matter. The emitted photon joins the wave with the same rhythm and direction. So the passing light becomes a little more unified. Atoms hold energy in quiet, particular amounts. An electron in an atom can rest in a lower energy condition, often called the ground state, or it can move to a higher condition if it receives just the right amount of energy. These allowed conditions are not continuous like a ramp. They are more like steps on a ladder. The spacing between steps gives each material its own set of possible light colors. When light passes through ordinary matter, many atoms are in the lower step. A photon with the right energy can be absorbed, lifting an atom upward. This makes the light weaker. If the atom later falls back down, it may release a photon. But in ordinary conditions, the release happens in random directions and at random times. The result is soft, spread out light rather than a growing beam. There is another possibility. If an excited atom is already sitting on a higher step, a passing photon with the matching energy can encourage it to drop down. The atom then emits a second photon that matches the first in color, direction, and phase. This is stimulated emission. One photon becomes two, and the two can encourage more excited atoms to emit in step. For this to happen often enough, the material needs many atoms already in the excited condition. Under everyday conditions, nature prefers lower energy. Warm materials have some excited atoms, yet most atoms remain in lower states. If a beam of light enters such a material, absorption tends to be stronger than stimulated emission. The beam loses energy to the atoms instead of gaining energy from them. To make light grow, the balance must be shifted. More atoms need to occupy a chosen excited state than a lower state connected to the transition. That shifted balance is the condition laser physicists work to create. The idea can be compared to a quiet hillside. If most pebbles lie at the bottom, a small push will not send many rolling downward. If many pebbles are placed higher up, a tiny nudge can start a steady cascade. in a laser medium, the pebbles are atoms in energy states, and the nudge is a passing photon. The cascade is orderly. It is a coordinated release of light, each new photon matching the one that came before. Creating this upward imbalance requires energy from outside. The process is called pumping. Pumping can be done with light from a lamp or another laser, with an electric current, or with chemical reactions that leave products in excited forms. The purpose is the same. Energy enters the medium and lifts atoms or molecules into higher states faster than they naturally fall back down. The medium then holds a store of excited particles ready to emit when stimulated. Not every pair of energy levels can support such a store. Some excited states empty too quickly. Others decay by releasing heat or by emitting light in directions that do not help the beam. Useful laser transitions often involve a metastable state, an excited condition where atoms remain for a relatively long time. A longer stay gives pumping a chance to fill that state. It also gives passing photons more opportunity to trigger emission before the energy leaks away. A simple two-level arrangement is hard to invert. If atoms are pumped from a lower level to an upper level, the same light that pumps them can also stimulate them back down. As the upper level fills, absorption and stimulated emission become balanced. The system settles near equal occupancy, and the beam does not gain much. Many practical lasers therefore use three or four levels. In a three-level scheme, atoms are lifted from the ground state to a high state. Then they relax into a metastable state. The laser transition occurs from that metastable state to the ground state. Because the lower level is the ground state, a large fraction of atoms must be lifted before emission can exceed absorption. Four-level arrangements make the task gentler. The laser transition ends in a level above the ground state, and that lower level empties quickly. Since few atoms remain in the lower laser level, even a modest number in the upper level can create the needed imbalance. This helps the laser reach amplification with less pumping energy. The difference between these level patterns explains why some materials are easier to use than others. Once the inverted medium is prepared, a photon traveling through it can be amplified. If the photon has the right energy, it meets excited atoms and encourages matching photons. The light intensity grows as it travels. In a laser, mirrors often guide light back and forth through the medium, letting the beam pass many times. Each pass can add more matched photons. One mirror may let a small share escape as the useful beam, while the rest continues to circulate. The balance between pumping and loss determines whether amplification continues. Energy leaves through the output beam, through absorption in the material, and through scattering. Pumping must replace the excited atoms that have emitted. If pumping is steady, the medium can maintain a stable, inverted population. The beam then settles into a calm, continuous output. If pumping comes in pulses, the beam may appear in pulses too. In both cases, the central requirement remains the same. The medium must hold enough excited atoms to make stimulated emission stronger than absorption. The same requirement also shapes which transitions can be used. The energy difference between two states sets the photon energy to obtain a desired wavelength. The medium must have suitable levels separated by that amount. Some materials offer convenient transitions at accessible energies. Others require more complicated media or special gas mixtures. The need to maintain an inverted population at a specific energy gap is one reason some transitions are harder to sustain. Still, the underlying condition is the same. A selected upper state must be more populated than a selected lower state. Temperature and material structure influence how easily the condition forms. At higher temperatures, atoms move more vigorously and occupy many energy states. This can spread the available energy and make a clean imbalance harder. Solid crystals, glasses, gases, and semiconductors each provide different patterns of levels. Engineers choose a medium whose levels fit the desired wavelength and pumping method. They also shape the medium so light can travel through it while gaining more than it loses. The concept was worked out gradually as physicists studied how atoms exchange energy with radiation. The key insight was that light amplification requires a departure from ordinary thermal balance. In normal equilibrium, lower states are favored and absorption wins. By supplying energy selectively, a medium can be held in a non-equilibrium state. That state allows a weak signal to become stronger without changing its color or direction. The process is orderly. Photons do not pile up randomly. They are matched copies produced by atoms that have been prepared in advance. A helpful way to think of it is a row of quiet bells. If the bells are still, a passing sound may be swallowed by soft cushions. If each bell is already tense with stored energy, the same sound can set them ringing in unison. The incoming sound is carried forward. It is repeated and strengthened. In a laser medium, the stored energy is atomic excitation, and the ringing is coherent light. Maintaining the condition does not require force in a crude sense. It requires steady bookkeeping. Pumping adds energy. Emission removes it. Losses carry some away. The medium reaches a working point where enough excited atoms are present at every moment. Small fluctuations may occur, but the overall population can remain stable. This stability allows the beam to have a narrow color and a steady pattern. The inverted population is therefore the heart of laser action. It turns a material from an absorber into an amplifier. It lets a single photon invite others to match it. It makes possible the narrow, orderly beams that distinguish laser light from ordinary lamp light. The condition exists only while energy is supplied. When pumping stops, atoms relax, the imbalance fades, and the medium returns to its usual preference for lower energy. The light then quiets, leaving the atoms settled once more. A laser keeps light in a place long enough for it to gather strength. The place is usually a space between two mirrors, and that space is often called an optical cavity. The gain medium sits inside this space. When atoms or molecules in the medium release light, the mirrors guide some of that light back through the medium again. Each return gives the light another chance to encourage more emission. The cavity is a path that light follows over and over until the path itself shapes what remains. The simplest cavity has two facing mirrors. One mirror reflects almost everything that reaches it. The other reflects most of the light, but allows a small portion to pass. That second mirror is sometimes called the output coupler. The name fits the action. It couples a little light out of the cavity, while keeping enough inside to continue the process. If both mirrors were perfectly reflective, the light would stay within the cavity, and no beam would emerge. If the mirrors reflected too little, the light would fade before it could build. The useful arrangement lies between those limits. Inside the cavity, light travels back and forth along the line between the mirrors. The gain medium adds energy to the light on each pass. The added light matches the passing light in direction and color. Because the mirrors keep returning the light, the matching becomes stronger. Photons that happen to travel along the cavity axis are favored. Photons that drift sideways soon leave the region between the mirrors and do not return. This simple preference gives the emerging light a clean direction. The cavity also favors certain patterns of vibration. Light is an electromagnetic wave, and a wave can fit between two mirrors only in particular ways. Often this means the space contains a whole number of half wavelengths. The wave must match the distance between the mirrors so that repeated reflections line up with themselves. When the returning wave arrives in step with the wave already present, it reinforces it. When it arrives out of step, it tends to cancel. This is resonance. The cavity simply gives steady support to the waves that fit and less support to the waves that do not. Resonance gives the laser a narrow set of allowed colors. The gain medium may be able to emit over a range of wavelengths, but the cavity can favor only those wavelengths that satisfy its spacing. In many lasers, several resonant wavelengths can exist close together. The design of the mirrors and the medium can then favor one of them more strongly than the others. The result is light with a very small spread of wavelengths. The beam appears as a single color, even when the underlying medium could support a broader range. The distance between the mirrors sets the spacing of these resonances. A longer cavity allows more closely spaced resonant wavelengths. A shorter cavity spreads them farther apart. Builders of lasers choose cavity length with the kind of light they want in mind. They also choose mirror coatings to reflect the desired wavelengths. A mirror that works well for one color may not work as well for another. The coating is made from thin layers that reflect light through controlled interference. Each layer is a quiet adjustment to the way the surface treats different wavelengths. Partial transmission is a careful choice. The output mirror must let enough light escape to form the beam, yet keep enough inside to maintain oscillation. The right amount depends on the gain available in the medium. A medium that adds energy easily can work with a mirror that transmits a little more. A medium with modest gain needs a mirror that reflects more strongly. The aim is a steady rhythm between growth and release. The cavity also shapes the cross-section of the beam. Light can form patterns as it bounces, and the mirrors determine which patterns remain stable. Some cavities support a broad spot, others support rings or lobes. Many common lasers are built to favor the simplest spot, a smooth central region with gentle edges. This happens when the mirror curvature and spacing guide raise back toward the center, rather than letting them wander outward. The geometry gives the beam its familiar round form. Mirror curvature helps keep the light centered. Flat mirrors can work, but they need very careful alignment. Curved mirrors can act like gentle guides. They bend the returning light back toward the axis and make the cavity stable over many trips. The light still travels in straight lines between reflections, yet the overall path remains confined. This stability is one reason many cavities use one or two curved mirrors. The beam that finally passes through the output mirror carries this stable shape with it. Not all light inside the cavity becomes the output beam. Some light is absorbed in the mirrors or the medium. Some scatters from small imperfections. Some leaves through the sides. The cavity quietly sorts these possibilities. Waves that match the resonance continue, while waves that do not match fade. Directions that stay aligned are amplified, and directions that wander are lost. The beam that emerges is the portion of light that survived this sorting and passed through the partially transmitting mirror. The optical cavity also gives the light a shared phase relationship because the same wave pattern repeats between the mirrors. The emitted light tends to have a regular rhythm. This regularity is part of what makes laser light different from the mixed light of a lamp. The cavity does not create the initial emission by itself. The gain medium supplies the energy and the first photons. The cavity organizes those photons into a steady, repeating pattern and lets a controlled fraction leave. When a laser is running, the cavity maintains a quiet circulation. Energy enters the gain medium, and the medium transfers some of that energy to light. The light then returns through the cavity, and a small part exits as the beam. The mirrors make this cycle possible without moving parts in many designs. They hold the path and set the allowed waves. They also decide how much light remains inside. The beam appears as the visible edge of a steady circulation. A lamp gives light the way a handful of sand scatters across a table. Each grain lands where it may. The light from a bulb, a candle, or the sun arrives as many small emissions from countless atoms, each sending out a wave that starts and stops on its own. These waves have different colors and point in many directions. They do not keep a shared rhythm. The result is bright and pleasantly familiar. It is also mixed. Laser light is different because it is organized. The word coherence describes that organization. In a coherent beam, the light waves maintain a steady relationship with one another. Their peaks and troughs line up in a predictable way, and they keep that relationship over distance and time. This is why a laser can form a clean spot on a wall or trace a straight line across a room without spreading into a soft glow. Coherence has two sides. One side concerns color, light of a single color, corresponds to a narrow range of frequencies. A lamp emits a broad band of frequencies. Even a lamp that looks white contains many colors at once. A laser, by contrast, tends to emit light within a very small range of frequencies. That narrowness means the waves do not drift out of step as quickly. This steadiness over time is temporal coherence. Musicians call this kind of steadiness staying in tune. Though with light, the idea is about timing rather than pitch. The other side concerns direction and shape. In ordinary light, waves move outward in many directions from the source. A shade or lens can guide some of that light. But the underlying emission remains disorderly. In a laser, the light is encouraged to move along one preferred path. Mirrors inside the device favor waves that travel back and forth along the same line. Waves that wander sideways are not reinforced. The result is a beam with a steady direction. This directional order is called spatial coherence. It means that different points across the beam are related in a steady way. If you could freeze the beam at one instant, the wave pattern would have a regular shape. That regular shape can be focused to a small spot. It also lets the beam remain narrow over a long distance. The beam still spreads a little, because all waves spread when they travel. A wide, orderly beam spreads more slowly than a jumbled one. Ordinary lamp light lacks this shared order because of how it is produced in a warm filament or a glowing gas. Atoms release energy independently. One atom may emit a wave now, another a moment later, and a third in a different direction. Each tiny wave train has its own phase. Phase is a way of describing where a wave is in its cycle, whether it is near a peak, a trough, or somewhere between. When many waves have random phases, they do not support one another. They add up to a broad, gentle wash. A laser arranges emission so that many atoms contribute in step. The process depends on stimulated emission, where an incoming photon encourages an excited atom to release another photon with matching properties. The new photon matches the original in frequency and direction. It also shares the same phase. One matching photon can prompt another and another. Over many events, a population of matching waves grows. The light becomes more alike with each pass. The structure of a laser helps this along. A gain medium sits between mirrors. Light traveling along the axis bounces back and forth. On each pass, it stimulates more matching emission. The mirrors let a small portion escape as the output beam, because the escaping light comes from waves that have already been selected for direction and frequency. It carries coherence with it. The beam is bright, and it is coordinated. This coordination explains why a laser can stay narrow where lamp light cannot. Imagine trying to send light from a bulb down a long hallway. You could place a lens in front of it, and the lens would form a beam of sorts, but the beam would contain many colors and many independent wavefronts. It would blur and widen quickly. A laser beam starts with a wavefront that is already orderly, so it can cross the same hallway as a slim patch of light. The difference also appears in shadows and edges. Laser light can produce sharp interference patterns because its waves remain related. Ordinary light can can produce interference too. But it usually needs careful filtering. A filter might select one color and one small portion of the source. Then the light behaves more coherently without filtering. The many colors and phases wash out fine patterns. The lamp's light is not inferior for general illumination. It is simply suited to a different task. A cozy reading lamp benefits from broad, mixed light. It fills a room softly. It reveals many surfaces without demanding alignment. A laser beam would not be a comfortable replacement for that. It is meant to carry order, not to spread comfort. The two kinds of light answer different needs. One is like a crowd chatting in a warm hall. The other is like a single clear note held by a flute. Coherence also affects how light can be focused. A lens gathers light and bends it toward a point. If the incoming waves are coherent, the lens can bring them together into a very small, well-defined spot. If the incoming waves are mixed in color and direction, the best focus is softer. Different colors bend by slightly different amounts. Different directions arrive at slightly different places. The focus becomes a gentle blur rather than a tight point. This is one reason laser beams are useful for careful measurement. A coherent beam can be split and recombined to detect tiny changes in distance. It can be aimed at a distant reflector and still return enough organized light to be read. It can be focused onto a very small region without needing enormous lenses. None of this requires the light to be harsh. It only requires the waves to stay in a known relationship. Ordinary light has its own quiet virtues. Sunlight carries a broad spectrum, which helps us see colors naturally. A warm bulb makes a space feel settled. A candle flame flickers with small changes that many people find pleasing. These sources do not need coherence to be valuable. They provide illumination by abundance rather than order. A chemical laser makes light from the energy released when atoms or molecules rearrange themselves into new substances. In an ordinary gas laser, an electric current or another light source lifts atoms into excited states. In a chemical laser, the lifting is done by a reaction. The reactants, often two compatible gases, meet in a chamber. As they combine, the new molecules are often born with extra energy stored in their vibrations or electronic states. If enough of them occupy those excited states, light passing through the gas can stimulate them to emit matching photons. Mirrors at the ends of the cavity guide the light back and forth, and a small fraction escapes as a beam. The central idea is still the same population inversion used in other lasers. A lower energy level must be less populated than an upper one, so that photons are more likely to cause emission than absorption. Chemistry supplies that imbalance directly. Some reactions release energy in a way that places the product molecule in a high vibrational level. The molecule has just formed, and its atoms are still springing against one another like a small oscillator. That stored motion can become the upper level of a laser transition. Many chemical lasers rely on molecules rather than isolated atoms. Molecules have vibrational and rotational states, and the spacing between those states is often small compared with electronic gaps in atoms. Small energy steps correspond to lower photon frequencies. That is one reason chemical lasers frequently emit in the infrared. Infrared photons carry less energy than visible photons, and molecular vibrations are naturally suited to producing them. The beam may be invisible to the eye, yet it can be smooth and steady. One familiar family uses hydrogen or deuterium combined with fluorine. When these react, the resulting hydrogen fluoride or deuterium fluoride molecules can be formed in excited vibrational states. The molecules then emit infrared light as they relax toward lower vibrational levels. The exact wavelength depends on the molecule and the conditions inside the cavity. Deuterium compounds tend to shift the emission to longer wavelengths because the heavier atom changes the vibration frequency. This is a quiet sort of tuning, governed by mass and bond strength rather than by moving parts. Another chemical laser uses excited oxygen to transfer energy to iodine atoms. In that system, a chemical reaction first creates oxygen molecules in an excited electronic state. Those oxygen molecules collide with iodine atoms and pass some of their energy along. The iodine atoms become excited, and they provide the laser transition. The emitted light is near infrared. This arrangement shows that the reaction does not always have to create the lasing particle directly. It can create an intermediate carrier, which then passes energy to the actual laser medium. Such systems can support steady beams because the reactants can be flowed through the device. Fresh molecules enter the optical region, emit light, and are carried away. Spent gases leave with the flow, and heat can be managed by the moving stream. This continuous renewal is different from a sealed tube where the gas gradually warms and the excited population changes. With careful flow design, the output can remain stable for as long as the supply is maintained. The beam becomes a kind of controlled river, with chemistry feeding it from one side and optics shaping it from the other. The distinction from electrically pumped lasers is especially clear in the way energy enters the medium. A gas discharge depends on electrons accelerated by an electric field. Those electrons collide with atoms or molecules and raise them to higher states. A chemical laser depends instead on bond formation. The energy comes from the rearrangement of electrons in chemical bonds, and it appears in the product particles almost immediately. This can be efficient for certain transitions, and it can produce large amounts of excited material without requiring electrodes to carry high currents through the gas. Optically pumped lasers are also different. They absorb light from a lamp or another bright source and then give off light at a desired wavelength. Chemical lasers skip that intermediate light step. The reaction itself creates the excited state. This can simplify some aspects of the design because there is no need for a separate pump source of high brightness. It also means the laser medium is tied closely to reaction chemistry, flow patterns, and mixing. The device is as much a careful chemical instrument as an optical one. The beam quality depends on keeping the gas uniform. Temperature and pressure affect the population of energy levels, and composition does the same. If the gas becomes too warm, collisions can spread energy into unwanted states. If mixing is uneven, some regions may absorb light instead of amplifying it. Engineers and scientists therefore shape nozzles and channels so that the reacting gases move smoothly. Mirrors are placed where the beam can grow in an ordered stream. Chemical lasers also illustrate why some colors are harder to create than others. Visible light requires larger energy gaps than infrared. Many reactions release energy readily into molecular vibration, which matches infrared transitions. To reach visible wavelengths, the reaction must populate higher electronic states, and those states often lose energy through other paths before they can lase. Collisions can quench the excitation, or the products may form in states that do not provide a useful inversion. For this reason, chemical lasers tend to be most successful in the infrared and near infrared, where the natural motion of molecules aligns with the light being produced. The mirrors used with these beams are chosen for the wavelength involved. Infrared light may be reflected by polished metals or by coatings designed for long wavelengths. Since the beam is invisible, instruments are used to observe its position and power. A viewing card or a calibrated detector can show where the light is going. In a laboratory, the setup often sits behind protective enclosures, keeping the beam path contained and the room calm. Spectral measurements often reveal fine structure within the beam. A single vibrational band can contain many rotational lines, each tied to a slightly different molecular motion. Reading those lines gives a quiet record of the molecules that carried the light. The beam, in this way, carries information about the reaction that made it. A laser needs a material that can amplify light. That material is called the gain medium, and it sets many of the basic limits on the color a laser can produce. Inside the gain medium, atoms, ions, molecules, or semiconductor bands hold energy in discrete amounts. When an excited particle gives up some of that energy as light, the photon carries an amount of energy that matches the gap between two allowed states. A larger gap means a higher photon energy. Higher photon energy corresponds to a shorter wavelength. This simple relation is why short wavelength lasers ask so much of their gain media. Red and infrared lasers often rely on modest energy gaps. Many familiar solid-state crystals, gas mixtures, and semiconductor structures support those transitions with stable, well-understood materials. The particles can be pumped into excited states, and a useful fraction of them return by emitting photons that match the desired transition. Mirrors guide the light back through the medium, so the emission grows. The process can be efficient enough that heat remains manageable. Blue and ultraviolet light require larger gaps. The gain medium must contain states separated by the right amount, and those states must connect in a way that favors light emission rather than silent relaxation. Silent relaxation happens when excitation turns into vibrations of the surrounding material. Instead of photons, those vibrations become heat in a short wavelength material. Even small losses can matter because each photon already represents a large packet of energy. If many excitations decay without radiating, the medium warms and the laser becomes harder to sustain. Suitable host materials also become fewer as the desired wavelength shortens. A good laser host must be transparent at both the pump wavelength and the laser wavelength. It must accept the active ions or molecules without degrading. It must remain mechanically stable while carrying optical power. For ultraviolet light, many ordinary glasses and crystals absorb strongly. Absorption turns light into heat inside the medium or nearby coatings. That makes the choice of host a careful search among wideband gap crystals, fluorides, and special semiconductors. Each candidate brings its own growth habits, impurity limits, and optical properties. Semiconductor lasers show the same pattern in a different form. A semiconductor gain region has a band gap that helps determine the emitted color. Longer wavelength devices can use well-established compound semiconductors with narrower gaps. Shorter wavelengths require wider gap materials, and the crystal layers must be grown with precise composition and low defect density. Defects can act as places where carriers recombine without emitting light. They can also scatter light or absorb it, producing a smooth, clean interface between layers becomes more demanding as the required band gap widens. Doping is another quiet constraint. Many solid-state lasers use trace ions dissolved into a crystal or glass. Those ions provide the energy levels needed for gain. For short wavelengths, the ion must offer a transition at the right energy, and the host must not disturb that transition too much. Some ions that seem promising on paper lose their excitation through cross-relaxation, where one excited ion shares energy with a neighbor, and both end in lower states. Others absorb the very light they are meant to emit. The result is a narrow set of practical choices. Pumping adds more structure to create gain. Energy must be placed into the medium faster than it leaks away. Pump sources often use flash lamps, other lasers, or electrical current. With short wavelength gain media, the pump photon may need to be quite energetic, or several steps may be required to reach the upper laser level. Each step can introduce loss. If the pump light is absorbed too near the surface, the front of the medium heats more than the interior. If it passes too far through, the gain may be uneven. Gentle, even deposition of energy helps the beam stay stable. Thermal load is therefore a constant companion of short wavelength gain. The difference between pump energy and laser photon energy often appears as heat. Suppose a pump photon carries more energy than the emitted photon. The surplus becomes lattice vibrations before or after emission. In blue and ultraviolet systems, the energy carried by each photon is larger, so losses that might seem small can still deposit noticeable heat. The medium may also absorb some of the short wavelength light it produces. That absorption adds more heat exactly where the optical field is strongest. Heat changes the optical behavior of the medium. A warm center and cooler edges can act like a lens, bending the beam as it passes. Temperature gradients can strain crystals, altering refractive index and changing polarization. If heating becomes uneven, thermal stress can make a material less durable. Though designers avoid such conditions by choosing safe operating levels, the practical effect is that a short wavelength gain medium must be cooled and shaped with care. Thin disks, slender rods, broad slabs, and small active regions are all ways of letting heat leave while keeping the optical path steady. Mirrors and coatings also feel the influence of short wavelengths. A laser cavity depends on reflectors that return light with very low loss. At blue and ultraviolet wavelengths, thin film coatings must be designed from materials that do not absorb strongly. Small absorption can warm the coating and shift its properties. The surfaces must be smooth on the scale of the shorter wavelength, because roughness that would be minor for red light can scatter blue or ultraviolet light more noticeably. This raises the standard for polishing and deposition, because direct gain media can be demanding. Many short wavelength lasers are produced indirectly through frequency conversion. In this approach, a laser first generates a longer wavelength where good gain media exist. That beam then passes through a nonlinear crystal. The crystal responds to the electric field of the light in a way that can combine photons. Second harmonic generation takes two photons of the original frequency and produces one photon with twice the frequency and half the wavelength. Frequency doubling of infrared light can yield green or blue light, depending on the starting wavelength. Additional doubling or mixing can reach ultraviolet regions. Frequency conversion has its own requirements. The crystal must be transparent at both the input and output wavelengths. It must have the correct nonlinear properties. It also needs phase matching, which means the interacting waves stay in step as they travel. If they drift out of step, energy flows back and forth instead of building the new color. Phase matching can be adjusted by choosing the crystal orientation or controlling temperature. Periodic structures inside the material can also help. These methods allow stable conversion, but they add sensitivity. A small change in temperature or beam angle can reduce efficiency. Conversion also concentrates attention on beam quality. A clean, narrow spectrum and a well-behaved spatial profile help the waves overlap in the crystal. Short wavelengths generated this way often require careful filtering to separate the desired color from leftover pump or fundamental light. The optics must handle both the original beam and the converted beam without absorbing either. When the target color is deep ultraviolet, even tiny absorption along the optical path can matter. So designers may use special gases, purges, or reflective optics, the path from pump to output must remain transparent all the way to the shortest desired color. Lasers rest quietly inside the instruments that use them, waiting as patient sources of ordered light. Their light waves stay aligned, keeping a steady rhythm that ordinary light does not usually share. In laboratories and small devices alike, this careful alignment helps instruments measure and guide with soft precision. Now the beam can dim in your thoughts. The mirrors and crystals have done their work. The colors have shown why some wavelengths are easier to find than others. There is no hurry left to solve. Nothing needs to be built. As the idea of coherent light grows gentle, let your breathing slow too. The steady path of a laser can become a quiet line towards sleep. The light keeps its order, even as it fades from attention. May your dreams be calm and softly focused.